Chapter Job 42. I'm going to give you a lot of content real fast, okay? A lot of content real fast. Job 42, the last chapter, I'm sorry. Job 42. We'll try to get the title in somewhere to the message. It really doesn't matter what the title is. But Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, are y'all seeing that? Then Job answered the Lord and said, I love the book of Job. I've preached several messages out of Job, but I've never preached from here. I've never preached the last chapter of Job. And I think it's neat because the bookends of Job, God's speaking. At the end, God's speaking. I think we can learn. Amen? I think we can learn from both speakings, right? Tonight, we're gonna get so much content about how to learn about who God is. Amen? Who God is, right? And we want to learn a little bit about who the enemy is too, and we'll learn a lot about ourselves. Amen? And I'd encourage you to go back and read the book of Job. It'll help you a lot. And one thing I wrote, you're going to see me looking at three little notes I made because I want to make sure we get this. I wrote this down. God constructed Job for the job. It's nifty, I know. If you made that note, you would look at it and go, that's nifty. Because Job and job are spelled exactly the same. Right? Yeah, it's a wow moment. But I want you to understand this. I hear people all the time in faith, in church, say, oh, you'll have faith like Job. That's weird talk, right? Nobody wants that. Everybody says they don't want that. But then the other side of it is you got to realize God constructed Job, okay? Y'all get it this way. God knew the strength of Job's faith, okay? So you don't have to worry about God giving you the Job package if you ain't made for the Job weight. Does that make you understand? If you're not rated for the Job package, God ain't going to put that on you, right? I could almost spend a little bit of time right here and really help some of you, but you'll be surprised at what your rating is. Let that just sink in. Is there anybody in here, you were surprised at what your rating was? You're not Job, but my goodness, you thought if God put this on you, God put that on you, you couldn't handle it, but you've handled it. Amen? Through His strength. I'm not talking about, we're talking about believers in Jesus Christ. But you understand? So sometimes when we think, I guarantee if you'd asked Job, if Job could have read Job prior to going through it, he would have probably said the same thing. I can't go through that. You understand? That's how God works. So understand that God's not going to put more than you can handle in you or on you, but at the same time, God is the designer. Amen? Oh, goodness gracious. If you hadn't got anything else out of the night, that would be pretty good. Amen? I'm just being honest. That kind of helped me. That come out of nowhere. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that then that no thought can be withholden from thee. Ain't that cool? If everything that happened to Job to bring him to this place is, I know you can do everything. Amen? I know you know everything. Ain't that good? Listen, I don't care what you got to go through to figure out God can do everything and God knows everything. Amen? Nothing can be hidden from God. So he's bringing him a place of repentance. Amen? Y'all see that? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and I declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee, but now... I'm going to go back and read verse 5. I have heard of thee, but by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes. Boy, that's good, right? Job learned. Now listen, some of y'all are going to, if you go back, you've got to really go back and read Job, but I want you to get this. Job never questioned the person of God. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. He never cursed. Well, you remember in the very beginning, it said if you take everything that Job has, he will curse you to your face, right? Remember? He took everything Job had and he did not curse Job to his face. He said, if you take his health, you strike him with bulls from the bottom of his feet, top of his head, if you do that, then he will curse you to his face. They did that, and he did not curse God. I want you to get this. He cursed the process. Amen? He cursed. He got into a position where the process was going on. What happened is he had several friends, three or four friends come over, and they sat with him for about 7 days, which is very commendable. And they watched him suffer. He'd lost 10 of his kids. His marriage is completely shot. Somebody else sitting right here, like, wait a minute, he didn't get a divorce. You don't have to have a divorce for your marriage to be shot. If your wife knows that you love God and comes in and says, curse God and die, your marriage is in trouble. Amen. Y'all good? Look, we're just going to be real tonight. We're not putting on. We're not going to mince things up where we can make ourselves feel good. This is the absolute truth. He is miserable. He is wrecked. His life is wrecked. The only people God allowed to live through this was the next person to come to tell him that he lost something. Ain't that awesome? One servant after another servant after another servant come with what? Bad news. By about the second one, Gary, you're going, just turn around, man. I don't need to know that all the ox are gone. I don't need to know that all the sheep are gone. I don't need to know that all the kids are dead. Amen? But he got all that after. Then after about 7 days, Job finally pries his mouth open and makes a plea. Why was I ever born? Right? I don't know about you. We've never been through this experience. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can get into certain troubles and certain pains and certain hurts, and you will question, why in the world was the time wasted that you were made, right? Whew. But then after all that, we had a friend of his who made another declaration. The reason you're going through this is because you. Okay? So there comes the process. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You might want to take notes during this, and if you don't take notes during this, maybe go back and listen to this online again and take some notes, because guess what? Sometimes you can love God, bless God, go through the trouble, but get upset with the process, but through the process, God is still in control. I want you to get it. God is still in control through the process. He got upset in the process because I wish there was some real people in here would do this right here. If you knew you were doing right, and you were accused of being wrong, and you were getting all the fruit of being wrong. Now listen, I'm not talking about living like the world and then you getting the consequences of that. I'm talking about this man was sitting there going, I'm thinking, could you imagine sitting there going, I'm doing it all right. I mean, there might be some thoughts, there might be some issues, but God, for the most part, I'm examining, I'm doing inventory. I love you. I do. Listen, some of you say, you're a hypocrite. There's not a man in here and in here. If you really know, you know. You know what I'm saying? Now, if I get caught, I'll be like, the first one, I did that. But if I ain't doing it, man, to have somebody blame me for it, have the repercussions of it, and still go through the process of it. I don't care who you are in this room. Don't put on for me and say, oh, well, I would have just kept my mouth shut and wrote off the... Man. What? It's 2020. People are passing off Christianity stuff. Is if you're living a blessed life, somehow God loves you. Have they ever read Job? I mean, God loves Job. God said, when God was talking to the devil about people that he loved, he said, have you considered my man Job? I mean, plucked his picture off the refrigerator in heaven. Some of you are like, refrigerator? Oh, I don't care. I'm just saying. You see, look, this is my boy Job right here. Try him, amen? Because the devil was sitting there going, I think there's nobody we can try. There's nobody here loves you, because he didn't love him. See, the devil didn't love him. He thought there ain't nobody loves you, and especially these people made out of dirt. They don't love you. They just love you because you help them, amen? That's what the devil thinks about us, that we just love God because he's blessed us so much. He don't realize that when you really truly love God, you get in a love relationship with him. It's not about the stuff. We all know. Praise God. God tells us off the front end, we're all going to pass away. Amen? He said, you're going to die. I ain't took that sting away from you. But the sting's only going to last until you take your last breath, and then you're going to get eternal life. And you're going to supplant. You're going to take the place of what Satan, where he lived, you'll live. My God. And what he was supposed to do, you will do. He was a worshiper. God, never mind. I don't want to get lost right there, but I want to tell you something. You get to heaven, God, you know what God's really saying by us? I hope y'all don't get mad because I say it this way. God looks at Satan and goes, I can replace you with dirt. No, but I can replace you with dust. That's what I can replace you with. That kind of helps me sometimes. Sometimes we think, God, we're irreplaceable. God will replace you in a heartbeat. You ever thought about that? Golly, I don't want to get in a long run right there. Have you ever been on a job or something? Well, it can't replace me in about 3 minutes. In about 3 minutes. Hey, John, will you get over there? And Ted, help him out. Yeah, he left. He's gone. See ya. Keep it running. All right, good. I thought I'd help you right there. Some of y'all really thought, well, that corporation will go under. They ain't missed a lick, have they? Goodness gracious, ain't that amazing? God's bigger than any corporation. He's better than any corporation, better than anything you got going on in your world. Listen, God ain't lost. He won't lose a... It keeps on going with God. Amen. Golly, that's pretty good. Let's go a little bit further. We're learning. Let me get that part in there. We learn. He learned who God was, and it brought him to a place of repentance. What I wanted to say there is not exact, because he didn't question God. He didn't curse God, but he cursed the process. I want y'all to get this, because this is a big point right here. He cursed the process, but when you're cursing the process, you are cursing God. Amen? Because he is the inventor, the maker, or the divine. He forgot, y'all want to write this down, he forgot who the potter was and who the clay was. Okay? All right, so sometimes when you're going through something and you know it's because God's got it coming, and maybe even if you don't know, but you realize you got to go to this right here. This is where Job could have went to, because maybe he had heard the story. I was going to go Romans 8:28, but Romans 8:28 hadn't been written yet or even been talked about yet, so I went to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Man, he could have talked about Joseph, and he could have said something like this. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So Job could have gotten his mind and said, wait a minute, I heard about this guy named Joseph, who God took care of him, and he went through a period of time where his whole life went 13 years straight down in the gutter, and he brought him up out of the prison, and he led God's people out of that. So maybe the process is bringing me out. What the devil's meant for evil, and what my friends here are meaning for evil, then God's meaning for good to save many people alive. All right? Because, listen, your best weapon a lot of times is not what you think or what you feel or what you attend. It's what you know out of the Scriptures and what you know of God. Sometimes you're going to have to armor up, right? You're going to have to armor yourself up in the Word of God. Sometimes you're going to have to remind, all things work to the good. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. There's been times I'm going to go, how in the world is God going to work this out to the good? Amen? Right? And he will. You just got to have the patience. You got to have the ability to go through it and learn, okay? So he learned that. So he learned in verse 6, wherefore I bore myself and repent in dust and ashes. He said, well, I love what he says right here. God, I hate myself, but I love you. Amen? Learn how to do that right there. He dust and ashes on his head. Hey, God, I hate myself, but I love you. You got it. I love, if you'll go back just one more chapter or so, that's when God really starts talking about whales and crickets, and ice, and snow, and sunshine. But my favorite is when he says, hey, Job, where were you the day that I told the ocean you could only come that far? Where were you at? That's one of my favorite. You know, that's just my favorite. Like, he told him a bunch of things. He said, you know, where do I store up all the snow? I don't know, God. Where's that at? When was the first day that you said, hey, son, come on up? Hey, moon, you go to the other side. Amen? God said, I'm in charge of those things. So he said, I'm the maker. So whenever you figure out those things, you can come talk to me. Oh, my goodness. When God wants to make a point, he can make a point. Amen? He didn't destroy Job. He's just correcting him. Amen? He's a difference. Amen? He's having a talking with him. Amen? Some of us would rather get a beating than talking to. Amen? How about Job, by the end of that conversation, he's like, man, God, I'm small. I'm nothing. Oh, what I was getting to the point of, Job says here, he says it in the Scripture, he goes, I put my hand over my mouth and I shut it. God, wouldn't it be good if we'd learn how to do that sometimes? Amen? I believe I could probably talk between my fingers, though. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever.
Right? But we need to learn that little optic right there. I always used to say, even a fool looks wise when he's quiet. I used to say that all the time when I was at the camp. It's kind of sarcastic and mean, but I would say even a fool looks wise when he's quiet. And it says a fool uttereth his whole mind. Amen? So he finally gets to the place. He's like, I've covered my mind. He goes, I am awful. Watch this. Watch. I love. We're going to get into some deep stuff right here. When I say deep, don't think, oh, we can't understand it. I'm just talking about how the enemy operates, okay, and how the devil operates. And when we figure that out sometimes, we'll see. I want y'all to see it. Verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Whew. All right, watch this. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Let's just focus on 7. I don't want to go further than that. I want you to see something in this. Turn with me to Job chapter 4. Go to Job chapter 4. There's something neat in this. Let's make a note right here. Learn. We're still learning. Let's learn about how the enemy works. We know in the Bible it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and higher powers, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Right? Is that correct? Okay. So, but it doesn't mean that the devil doesn't use people in the operation. So that way you don't hate the people. You hate the enemy, which is Satan, that he used the person. You don't hate the person. You still want that person to be delivered and be saved. That doesn't mean you move in with them. That doesn't mean you have to hang out with them all the time, but you don't have to hate them either. Amen? Does that make sense? Hope that makes sense to you. But I want you to see this right here. Here's the connect. They were speaking about God's man, and I have read Job over and over. And there are some times when I read Job and I'm not very clear-minded, I think they made some good points. Come on, man. Let's not be super spiritual right here. They made some pretty good points, right? I mean, the last one, the youngest one, waited to the very end and he spoke and he made some pretty good points. I thought, man, he's making some pretty good arguments. The problem is they were arguing for God, and God wasn't against Job. God was using Job as an example to show his glory through Job to Satan and to anybody else who ever questioned whether a man can love God. You understand what I just said? So guess what? I want you to see this. They started speaking without God giving them the operation to speak. It's all right to speak unless you're speaking for God and God ain't the one talking. Man, I feel like we need to let that sink in just right there. We could move on out of that and think, sometimes we think we're speaking for God and we're not. We see something happening to somebody and we will go ahead and invoke God in it and we don't even know what God's doing. I have seen Christians go through some tough stuff and the first question they'll be asking them is, what did they do wrong? If you've seen Job, that's every one of them for a man. You've done something, Job. Admit it. are you okay? Are y'all ready? All right, y'all shut that whole train of thought. Can y'all shut that down just for a second? Let's go into a blank sheet of paper. Y'all ready? I'm about to show you something that I've never taught. You know what I thought when I first read this? I said, nobody ever teaches that. And I thought, well, I got my own church. I will. You all right? So we're going into something I've never seen anybody teach. I've never heard. I ain't saying that nobody ever taught it. I'm just saying I've never heard it. And it's kind of on the edge right here, but I don't think it is on the edge. I'll show you why. In the scriptures. So let's go to Job chapter 4 and verse 12. This is Eliphaz the Temanite speaking. Now I think when God corrects him, see, he had the other friends, but he spoke to him directly. And I think I know why he spoke to him directly. And I'm going to show you this, but I want to show you why he spoke to him directly, because I don't think he was speaking on his own behalf, and I don't think he was trying to speak for God. I think he was trying to speak for Satan himself. And we'll see it right here. I know, man, are y'all excited as I am about this? It's like we broke some kind of code. I know it's Wednesday night, and it's not informal, but I kind of love stuff like this. So let's look in Job chapter 4, verse 12. Now watch this. Gary, you probably have a really cool deal in your Bible, I'm sure it'll be a little bit more plain, but I'm going to read it out of mine. Watch this right here. Now, a thing was secretly, y'all see it with me? Okay? Brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. Okay? He said, there was something brought to me secretly, and it was whispered in my ear. Y'all good? Now, listen to this. Now, listen how it goes. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men. He said, in the middle of the night, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, when you're deep in sleep, I got a vision. I got this was whispered in my ear. Y'all good? We're not heretics here. I'm happy. You don't get crazy. I'm showing you something. Watch. Fear, verse 14, watch this. God is not fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Okay, watch this right here. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Y'all seeing it? Then a spirit passed by before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Are y'all good? Watch this right here. It stood still, but I could not discern from the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence. I heard a voice saying, okay, y'all good? Now here's where we're going to get into the meat of this. Now this is how the enemy sees you, and this is how he operates. Listen to what he says, and then I can take you back to Job 1, and I can show you how this is a lie, more or less. Y'all good? Watch right here. Watch with me. Shall mortal man be more just than God? He's mad at the creation. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Y'all good? He's attacking right here, right? Who's he talking for? Now watch this. Behold, he put no... Well, verse 18, watch this. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Okay. Remember, he got cast out of heaven. He said he doesn't love his servants, and he charged his angels with folly. Now watch, I want to show you something. I hope y'all think I'm doing good right here, because I want you to get this. Verse 19. How much less, good Lord, this is good. How much less in them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. That is a lie. Because the whole first part of Job is what? Have you considered my servant Job? He had confidence in Job. The devil has whispered in his ear to whisper it in Job's ear that God has no confidence in you. He didn't even have confidence in me. Y'all see the attack right there? So the first thing the enemy wants, one of the biggest things when he comes, some of the most important people that you're going to label friends, family, etc., are going to stand and whisper in your ear that God has no confidence in you, that God couldn't love you because he couldn't. He didn't even love his angels. So he sees you lower than. Ain't that? Man, I hope y'all see that. That's so powerful. Sometimes I'm a big fan of saying this. You need to watch your own tape. Watch your own tape. Watch your own tape. You need to realize where your blind spots are and your weaknesses are. But the next thing you do as an athlete or somebody who's going into battle, you always watch the other team. Amen? So when you start getting words from the enemy, this is what it's going to sound like. He don't even consider your death. There's nothing about you that he even considers. And if you're not careful, you can fall into that, right? Is that true? Goodness gracious. I have been placed with God, and I thought, man, God just don't even care anymore, right? And he does. Amen? Once there are certain places and times in your life where your prayers feel like they're hitting the ceiling and coming back down. That's a little old cliche thing, but it's absolutely true. Right. All right. So let's go back. Do y'all see that as that's another learning process? Did y'all see it? Okay. Where do we start? 7. Well, let's go back to Job. Job 42, and I think we're in verse 7. Is that correct? No, verse 8. Yeah, verse 8. Watch this. Okay, watch. Now let's get. All right. So we're moving from learn. We're moving from learn to forgive. Y'all good? Church, if you don't ever have to learn, if you don't ever figure this one out here, you're going to have a long, hard Christian life. You're going to be miserable as a Christian if you don't learn how to forgive right. Amen? Watch this. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Now, he's talking to all the friends, okay? Y'all good with me? Watch this. And offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Did you hear what he just said? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get your 7 bullocks. Y'all are going to go to Job, and he's going to pray for you, and he's going to pray over your offering, and I'm going to accept that, unless he doesn't pray for you, and then I'll deal with you the way I dealt with Job. Come on, guys. These guys have been pouring salt in the wound for days, if not months. They sit there and accuse him of everything when he knows in his right mind they were a part of the trouble. They were a part of the affliction. They hurt him emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, every which way you can get hurt. They hurt him. And God gives him the power over their lives. Go get you some ox. Come back. That has to be the longest cattle roundup of all time. You just sit there. And y'all, I don't know if y'all have read Job in a while. They have gave eloquent, grand speeches to Job for days. You hear what I'm saying? And now they're having to go down there and rustle up. Give me 7 of the finest, or we're going back to Job. And hope to God he gets there. Hope he prays for us. Amen? Hope he prays for us. Man, God's so good, ain't he? Let's go. Let me show you something right here. What's happening? Here we are in the forgiveness. What happens? Let's go to Psalm 37. What is God doing in Job's life right here? I had to get this verse. I want y'all to get it. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Whew. Y'all ready? Psalm 37, verse 4. I hear pages turning. Man, y'all are still locked into this message. That's pretty cool. The ones who are turning your pages are. I'm just kidding. Delight thyself. Is that what y'all are saying? What's this right here? Delight thyself also in the Lord. When? All the time. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Right away? Not always right away. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Wait, when you commit, when you read that word right there, I want you to get like this. I want you to get sold out. Commit. So what I want you to mean is commit is you're all the way, you're completely leaned in for God, totally out of balance. God, off balance. Okay, like there's certain plays in sports. Only way I'm just a sports analogy person, I'm sorry. But like sometimes if you're going to make a big play, you've got to totally sell out. If you miss, you'll look like a fool. If you don't get the tackle, or if you don't hit the shot, or you don't do the thing, you'll look foolish. But if you do, you sold out. Amen? Sometimes you got to lay all the way out to make the catch. You got to lay all the way out like Superman to slide. You got to jump all the way out there to make the tackle or the catch. Okay, you got what I'm saying? Commit your way to the Lord. You say, but I can look foolish. If God lets me down, I'm going to look foolish. Job looks real foolish. Laying around in his sackcloth, laying around in his ashes, laying around in his boils, laying around in his loss. He looked foolish for a long time, but he had committed his way to the Lord. He never talked ill of the Lord. He was just saying, I don't love the process, but God, I don't know why you had me go through, but I love you. I trusted you. Your ways are right. I'm wrong. Right? Okay, you good? Watch this right here. It gets better. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What? He shall bring. Verse 6. You might want to make this part of your life verses right here. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and the judgment as the noonday. Praise God for sunrise. It's been dark for a while for Job. Have y'all ever seen a good sunrise? Beautiful, great. I'm just talking about when it's been real dark and you wanted the sun to come up and you ever get to see that one beam of light. Man, there ain't nothing. Listen, I ain't going all Marine Corps stuff, but I used to watch, we had guard duty. Six on, six off, six on, six off, six on, six off. And the worst time was that hour right before sunup. I mean, you were like a walking zombie. There were times you were standing post. I'd stand post, and I'd be sitting there going, you know what I mean? And it's like, if the sun would come up. It's amazing how awake you can get when the sun comes up. And just, ping, one little light comes up. And the next thing you know, the whole thing and everything starts getting life. And all of a sudden, you just feel yourself waking up. Next thing you know, good morning, how are you, how are you? 5 seconds ago, you couldn't even speak. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you couldn't even put two words and sentences together. You were so sleepy. But all of a sudden, the sun's coming. Listen, Job has been through the darkest time of his life. And God brings up he brings up his righteousness. He's shining. Golly, ain't this cool? He's like, hey, guys, go down and get you some bullocks. I'm going to have my man Job pray for you. Yes, you, the Timnite, the one who spoke for the enemy and said he doesn't consider him. I do consider him. Goodness gracious, y'all better get that. I do consider Job. Even though I made him out of dirt, I like him. God loves you. He likes you. Amen? Oh, goodness. I love that. All right, let's go back. Go back, go back, go back. So Eliphaz, Timnath, Bildad, this is verse 9. The Shuhite, Zophar, the Naphathite, I don't even know how to pronounce that, Naphathite, went and did according to the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Ain't that cool? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed. Oh, I don't want God. Y'all see that? You got to see it. God, look, I know that was weird. Sorry. Verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When did he turn it? Okay. When did God take up off his hand off of him? When? Yeah, watch this right here. When he prayed for his friends, God even calls them his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Learned, forgiven, healed. Right? Learned. He was learning. God showed him. He said, I'm not afraid to teach you anything. I'm not afraid to hear how you feel about the process. But at the end of the process, you better learn it. Once you learn it, then you better learn how to forgive too. Because he didn't pull his hand off of Job and let him go back to normal and get a blessing until he said, hey, listen, God, you got to get this too. God knows phony. Job didn't pray for them like, yeah, Lord, he blessed them real good. You know what I mean? He didn't do that. He didn't look at them, you know. He must have prayed for them like he would have prayed for himself. God, help me and help my friends to be better through this. God, forgive them. I'll forgive them. God, I empty myself. See, we're not good at that. I'm going to be honest. There's probably a handful of you in here right now. We're just not real good at that. We'll say we forgive. We say we're over it. And we are not over it. And we hadn't forgiven. And if we'd give the opportunity, we'd say that it's over. We took it to the altar. We gave it to God. But if somebody brings it up, man, you've just ran all through it again. Well, let me tell you what I know about them. Huh? Well, let me tell you about one time I had a situation. Oh, really? But I thought we were past that. This prayer for them had to be, I totally forgive them. And I totally accept their sacrifice. God, you set their sacrifice. God, I'm over it. Some of us are going to have to learn to get over it. And you say, why would we want to get over it? Well, God got over your sin, right? Do you want God to hang on to some stuff that you're hanging on? Well, you hang on? No, I don't. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me too. I'm bad about that sometimes. I'm not, you know, I tell God, okay, I'm letting that go. It's been 3 years now, God. I'm over it. And somebody will bring up person. Oh, I remember at one time. Do you really remember? God, because he's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. Right? He put it as far as down as in the bottom of the sea. Right? That way, if somebody goes after it, they'll chase and chase and chase and never find it because the east never meets the west. And if they try to go down and find it and bring it back up, they'll get crushed by the weight of the waters. It'll crush them. So they're going in there trying to find it. They'll crush them trying to find it. Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody said about you, once they forgive, man, you'd be chasing and chasing, chasing to try to get them to do it, or you'd get crushed wasting your time trying to go get them to bring some old stuff up. Wouldn't it be awesome? Golly, I can tell you to one example right here. Wouldn't it be good if every time somebody brought that person up or that thing up and it came to you and you said, you know what, I just forgave that. I'm over it. Amen? Oh, golly. That'd be life-changing, wouldn't it, on some things? Hey, man, it would be. All right, where are we at here? Okay, so the Lord blessed. Is that right? Okay. Verse 11, let's talk about the healing. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that they had been of his acquaintance before. And he did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Even man, every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. Verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemimah, and the name of the second Kizai, and the name of the third, yes, Kip, that's a hard one. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. The healing was complete. And I'll guarantee you, now listen, this is just a person reading the scriptures to understand. I bet if you ask Job, you say, when did you learn more about God and learn more about yourself? Was it in the early years of you, how much you had, or was it the end of the years when you had, two times more? It was right in the middle when I had absolutely nothing to rely on but me and God. I learned a lot about me, a lot about my friends, a lot about my enemy, and a lot about God. I forgave like God's forgiven me. I forgave God, and I forgave my friends, and I forgave myself. Amen? And then I healed. My friends came along, and they comforted me, and they blessed me, and God healed me, and God gave me life and new relationships. They didn't replace the old relationships, but I got to make new ones. So the greatest time in my life was also the hardest time in my life when I recognized who God was. Amen? Ain't that amazing how God does this? Guys, I'm going to tell you, God will take you through some seasons in your life when you'll think, man, this shouldn't be happening to me. But if you get onto the other side of it, and whatever the other side of that is, you'll say, man, God's good. Because everything he's doing is for his glory. Once you write this down, I'm done right here. For his glory and your benefit. His glory and your benefit. Is that good? Y'all got it? Let's all stand. I don't know what that's doing. I'm starting to kind of dig.